Do you lead an organization, a business, company, a nonprofit? Imagine if your people delivered truly inspired performance day in and day out. Well, it can happen. The challenge lies in knowing what motivates your people. That's where SEMA International comes in. They unlock the mystery and the magic of human motivation. To learn more, visit SEMAInternational.com, S-I-M-A International, for inspired performance.
Join the team from SEMA International on Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11, here on 104.1 The Truth.
Welcome back to Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Our toll-free call-in line is 877-544-2580, or locally 751-1041. Or if you'd like to send us an email, it's change@thelarsongroup.com. So welcome on the line, Marlis Hansen from SEMA International.
Thank you, Sarah.
Well, always, it's a pleasure to be here. Of course, many of our folks know you've done many longer segments with me, Marlis, talking about the SEMA process. And I would recognize and remind our audience this is one of the gurus from my group of colleagues, having done this now over 25 years, right?
At least.
Okay, we'll keep that top number secret, right?
Okay.
Well, Marlis, today we wanted to talk about the whole idea of the application of a deep-level understanding of our motivated abilities, particularly related to career transition. And I think we probably want to spend some time talking about just set up the whole dynamic right now. We're not talking about just job change, but career change. And might you like to start with some comments in that space first?
Okay, well, it sometimes is a good place to start with a definition of this word transition, and because it's, kicked around a lot, but I think if you go to the dictionary, what it really says that transition is an act of passing from one place or condition to another. And, you know, looking at that definition, you can really see that today the transitions are very commonplace. There truly is, you know, for better or for worse, a great deal of passing from one place or condition to another. And we can look, you know, into the not-too-distant past and see, you remember when mid-career crises was a very popular term. And that crises, you know, really signaled a very negative connotation to this idea of transition. But that's really gone away, I think, for the most part, because transition is so commonplace. And it's just really so important for people to, be ready to make those transitions as the marketplace demands.
Well, and not just the marketplace, too, their own personal growth, wouldn't you say? I mean, I know,
Yep. You
know, I know a number of people I've worked with that they're just sitting there saying, is this all there is? You know, and so they're wanting to do some things to kick themselves up in a new way, a broader way, a different way.
Absolutely. And in fact, the marketplace changes really, you know, open the door for a lot of those individuals to be more, you know, take more initiative in trying to accomplish that fit that's going to give them meaning and purpose in their lives and make for a better use of their talents. So these are not, independent factors. They really work together. But the bottom line is that there are, as you know and see in your business as well, there's just a lot of individuals out there involved in making some pretty important transitions.
Yeah, and I would say one of them, it isn't, of course, just this idea of progressing within the organization where you currently are, but I was at a conference just yesterday and meeting a whole collection of energized individuals who are bound and determined to start their own businesses. So this is as well, you know, that idea of understanding yourself to make sure you get the foundation to take that big leap as well.
That's right. And as you know, it works well for some individuals and others. You know, if they want to go that route, they really need to team up with, you know, a partner that's going to maybe bring some of the motivations that they may not possess.
Yeah, so, you know, back to this idea of also, is this all there is? I think we also find that particularly at a time like these when so many people need help, at least we talk about that, of course, on this show, is that part of who you can become would be also what you would do in your, I call it your 5 to 9 life. So it isn't just what you're doing in your for-pay endeavors, but also your volunteer work, your community engagement, and your children's schools. And the kind of techniques and assessments helps our being in those places, too.
Yes, because sometimes, you know, we just can't fit all of the things that we really need to do to engage our talents into one job or career. That we may want to do, you know, some auxiliary kinds of activities to kind of round out that sense of being able to fully engage. And who knows, sometimes, and we see this happen a lot, that individuals will develop a passion or an interest in their, you know, five to nine kinds of activities that will eventually turn to a new career direction.
Absolutely.
Give them some insights. Mm-hmm.
Sure, it's just like when we've talked about encouraging college students or even high school students to make sure you're filling your extracurricular portfolio with as much diversity as possible, because those might be some of those triggers that shoot you in a different direction.
Absolutely. The idea of exploring every, you know, kind of activity and avenue possible is just, we can't emphasize it too much, because it's really what gives the individual the confidence that they've at least, looked under that rock and explored that, so they have some information on which to make a more informed decision.
Yeah, particularly if they trip over the rock, that they know then, wait, maybe I should take pause here and look. Well, you know, Marlis, despite all this, where we're heading this conversation, still, people also do make the wrong choice, right? So part of this, too, is to help people not beat themselves up for that, you know, quote, wrong decision, but rather than know how to now take the next step with a better mindful direction.
Right. And you know, we are so conditioned, I think, by media and our culture and, you know, the things that go on around us to really look externally for these criteria in making decisions about career choice. And, you know, there's always the top 10 job lists and the jobs that are going to have the most growth and opportunity for promotion. I mean, there's so much out there in the media all the time about this that it distracts the individual, and they forget to look sort of to their internal guidance system for evidence of what really, you know, is their passion and what really has, served the foundation of the things that they've enjoyed doing and felt they've done well from throughout their work and life. So we really try to step back and work with them, you know, to reflect on those life work achievements and to look at the details of what was involved in those achievements. How did they know what to do? What did they do? Mm-hmm. You know, what part of it was most exciting? So they really, you know, spend some quality time with the professional assistance to help them extract the themes from those achievements and activities, so that they have this guidance for looking toward, you know, a future direction.
You bet. Well, many of our listeners may know, but let me remind any of our new listeners that Marlis has actually written a lovely book on this very subject called Passion and Purpose, and that's MarlisHanson, Marlis Hanson, for that book. But for those who want to take that next step and maybe not just go through a self-guided process, of course, that's where you and I are both licensed in a technology that allows us to guide people through that adventure. And in fact, Marlis, you know, I got connected because I went through that process in 2002.
Yes, I remember that. And, you know, it might be interesting just to, explore that a little bit. Zara, you know, what was it that prompted you to take that step? Because I think that's a question that, you know, runs through people's minds is, you know, am I at the point where I need to do something different? What are the signals that, you know, might say, okay, it's really time to get serious about this career transition? What prompted you?
I'd be happy to turn the mic over to you. Thank you. Now I'm being interviewed. I love this. Well, for me, in 2002 timeframe, I was blessed with really a terrific affiliation with a large corporation. But I'll tell you honestly, I was bored out of my mind. Even though it was a very challenging opportunity and compensation was right and terrific colleagues around me and challenges abounded left and right, something was just brewing inside of me that said there's got to be something more. And by bored, I meant that I wasn't doing things, but it was just I was doing things. You know what I mean? It wasn't the feeling that there was significance or that I also could get this sense. And I was, you know, I'll do the math. I mean, in my mid-40s, where I said, I know there's something bigger out there for me, but am I prepared to go do it? And so I actually approached the leader of our organization and asked if the firm would invest in this kind of deep dive inquiry for me, with my intention, by the way, of full disclosure, I was going to share the data with him, he was the president of the division, and honestly talk about it. So on one hand, it's the old be prepared to deal with the answers when you ask the question.
That's right.
And it
That's
was
right.
Because, you know, I had this hunch and sure enough went through the process of storytelling with one of our colleagues, and it came back with data that clearly indicated A, I was ready for a big move, but that also I probably was not fit well with where I currently was. And how to have then that honest conversation without offending anybody, but to say, okay, it's time to do something different.
And I think what you've described here is what we see so often, and that is that it's not a question of deficiency.
I didn't feel it, so, yes.
It's a question of fit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know your background and your education, and so it's just not a question of competency at all. It's a question, as you've described, of the nature of what you were doing just didn't engage your motivation.
Now, I have to admit, you know, when I got that data and stared at it, I almost wanted to freeze up because you say, oh, my goodness, now I know I need to move on. And I'll admit it took me another 2 years because of family circumstances and other things to then make that big leap. But as I went into that then two-year process of thinking about options, I took additional courses, I enrolled in a program, I even said, you know, maybe it's the time for me to pursue doctorate work. Just because how I'm motivated or how I'm wired, because SEMA helped me see that, said that when I'm at that inflection point, that courses of study in particular are things I like to lock onto, whereas perhaps some other people, right, they like to go and talk and interview people or go to conferences. But while I did some of that, I think this course of study path. So I'll be honest, you know, here I sit today with the good fortune of having done doctorate work then, and this would be, what, a five-year time span, but it was because of having done this process with a guidant expert like you.
Well, that's a very good point that you make about kind of the stepwise preparation that people often can take. It isn't like, you know, you talk to your supervisor one day about this and the next day you turn in your termination. It's like, okay, now how do I prepare to really use these talents? And often it does require some kind of retraining or additional training. So that becomes an important part of people's strategy many times as a way of, you know, letting go of one trapeze and being ready for the next one.
Being ready for the next one, let alone being able to know which one you grab. Well, if I could reflect back on something we talked about earlier, the other thing that happened to me during that five-year process before I finally did, you know, submit my resignation, actually it was 2 years, and then move on, was I realized, as you had said, that probably most career situations don't satisfy all the ways you're motivated or that you'd like to grow. So during that time, I right away kicked up and chose different boards and activities on the outside to kind of help buffet me as I went through this discernment process. I think the other piece I know you've shared with me and others is when you go into transition, you better be prepared for your stuff to come out at you. And I mean that in a positive way, but some of your history, some of it indeed is your mistakes and your foibles, but your stuff can also be, you know, I did that kind of thing back then really, really well. Why have I stepped away from it? And then trying to guide yourself back in that positive way. So Marlis, the idea that you can take advantage of this time of intermission to actually still, though, feel like you're moving forward.
And to really use the process as a way of capturing the talents that you have. I think sometimes in a transition period, for whatever the reason the transition is, that people's self-esteem suffer.
Yep.
And you begin to wonder, oh, why can't I make this work? Why, you know, maybe in your situation you had a really good job, you're probably paid very well, and maybe, you know, in a town or in a city where your spouse was gainfully employed, and all these things that hold us there, and we'll begin to think, why can't I make this work? And people start to really beat up on themselves, and it's really damaging to the self-esteem, where when we step back and look at, you know, the evidence, the real reason why this isn't working, it seems to be much clearer and much, more resolvable in the individual's mind. You know, this is the reason it isn't working. And then there's hope for, you know, finding a plan to resolve that.
And let me explain real clearly, the reason it wasn't working for me at that time, in courtesy of the SEMA process, it allowed me to see it, that I am all about pioneering extracting potential, making a big impact, and prevailing. So that's who I am at the core. And as it turned out, we had just gone through a huge merger and acquisition, big integration that was on my shoulders to guide. I was very fulfilled. But you know, once it was starting into the sustain mode, in other words, the party was almost over, I really needed to move on. Well, Marlis, perhaps yourself, you know, you obviously practice helping others identify their core essence. What is yours, and how might you have leveraged that through your own career transitions?
Well, I think about my very first career, which was I was a court reporter. And, you know, just had a year of vocational training and worked as a court reporter. And when I decided that there just wasn't the opportunity there for learning that I wanted, because learning is very much a part of my pattern, I remember the discussions that I had with the judge that I was working for at the time. And this happens so many times to individuals that I think if they change careers that they'll lose, you know, what they've been doing, that their skills will go to waste that they have,
yes,
you know,
that's right,
demonstrated in a previous career. And this judge kept telling me, he said, Marlis, you're such a good listener. And you're so good at comprehending what people are saying, and your transcripts, you know, that you produce are so good. It would be a shame for you to lose that. And I kept thinking all the time he was telling me that, you know, there's got to be other ways to use those skills, other than just court transcription. And I appreciated, you know, the confidence that he had, but at the same time, looking back on it, I can see how many people get trapped in that idea that what they're doing currently is working, and they will lose that if they move on.
Yes, in fact, what we would say then, though, in the context of our show, this idea of a circle of change is, lo and behold, you then took a variety of other trajectories, got involved in Lawrence Livermore Laboratory working with engineers, and here you then circle back, get certified in SEMA, which in your role partnered with me is all about listening to people as they tell their stories, then transcribing or mining the nuggets to be able to tell the real story. It's a wonderful dynamic. Well, Marlis Hansen, thank you so much for joining us here on Circles of Change. SEMAInternational.com if you'd like to learn more about the services, as well as touch into Marlis' background and give her a call. And remember her book, Passion and Purpose. Thanks a lot, Marlis. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Do you lead an organization, a business, company, a nonprofit? Imagine if your people deliver truly inspired performance day in and day out. Well, it can happen. The challenge lies in knowing what motivates your people. That's where SEMA International comes in. They unlock the mystery and the magic of human motivation. To learn more, visit SEMAInternational.com, SIMA International, for inspired performance.